Appreciate you being here tonight and looking forward to what God has for us, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. You know, the work of God, I heard this today, the work of God is greater than any one person. And yet, it's a great privilege and opportunity to be used of the Lord in any capacity, isn't it? And I pray that you feel that the Lord is using you, and I'm thankful for an opportunity to open up the Word of God tonight with you. So I hope you're excited about it. I am. Take your Bible and just open up to the middle, and you'll almost be there. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Most likely, it'll drop right into the Psalms about the middle of your Bible, and Psalms 95. And so I thank the Lord for this opportunity that pastors asked me to speak tonight and open up the Word of God with each other and with you tonight. So appreciate this opportunity. Grateful for it. Psalm 95. Hey, we're starting early, so that means we should finish early, right? Don't say amen too loud to that. But Brother Isaac put the pressure on me from Sunday night. How many of you realized he finished a little earlier on Sunday night? So now I should finish early too. I don't know. We'll let Pastor have all the time when he gets back. And so we'll see how we do. Want to cover over a few things this evening. Before we dig into this, Psalm 95, I want to ask you, how many of you feel that you enjoyed going to McDonald's more as a kid than as an adult? Yeah, okay, good. Appreciate it. I just wanted to make sure I was in good company tonight. And I think part of the reason behind that is because we probably were getting the Happy Meals, right? And with the Happy Meals comes what? A toy. And most of the time, you would go and look for that toy before you even went to the Nuggets. And you would go right into that box, and you would see what it was. Now, I will say this. The toys these days are not as good as the toys they were in my day and probably even back in your day. So they were plastic, and some of them even were metal because they were Hot Wheels. And now they're cardboard and paper, right? And so, but it seemed as if, man, it was just nice that it came in the package and you looked forward to it and you were excited about it. I remember even this, that there were sometimes even some basketball type things and just different characters, Super Mario and on the list goes, right? But just different things that came in the box. And so Space Jam, that was part of it, right? And Transformers, of course I mentioned the Hot Wheels, but they were actually plastic toys you could play with if you wanted to, and you could have fun with it, or had to put them together and hope that you were making it right. But sometimes your fries got cold and all this, and it didn't matter because you were excited about the toy. Now, you want to make sure you said you were either a boy or a girl to get the boy toy or the girl toy. Isn't that interesting? Oh, for those days. Right? But think about it. We have a lot of extras that come with a lot of different things. And of course, there's been some suits that have in different times have bought a suit. And every time I think I bought a suit, there's these buttons that come with it that are extra buttons. Because they expect you, I guess, to pop the buttons. I don't know. or lose the buttons. And they're spare there for you. But you buy a pair of shoes. And if you get an extra pair of shoelaces that go with it, it's nice. That's great. And so there's things that sometimes are extras, and I'm going to tell you this evening that this is an extra that comes with the package, and God has some special things for us in this chapter of Psalm 95. And you're not going to find any McDonald's toys, but we will find some things that come with the package that are beyond what we deserve. And so would you notice, please, with me verse 1, and I want you to notice verse 1, and then verse 2, and then also verse 6. There's a word that could stand out to you that's the same word, and it's the word, O come, and that word, come. It says in verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And then notice in verse 2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And then drop down, if you would, to verse 6, and it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The word come, what does that imply? It implies just that. It implies access, open invitation. Hey, come on in. You know, and you know, you knock on the door and you wonder if it's going to be open. You don't have to worry about that with God. But God is saying this, that we are to come to Him. And some ways that we can come to Him. You know, when we come to God, we're saying we want more devotion to Him. We want to get in closer to Him. We want relationship. We want something that He has, right? And that He has to offer. A desire for that true, real relationship. A personal response to come to Him. How often? I'll say this, number one, for tonight, it's a constant invitation. This is not just come to Him for salvation. Although you notice He says in verse 1, He's the rock of our salvation. But we're to continue to come to Him. And some ways that we can come to Him and some ways that He desires, that He tells us right here in this chapter that we should come to Him. First of all, we should come to Him with joy. Notice it says in verse 1, come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a, what? Joyful noise. And thank God it says that. But you know what? To make a joyful noise, you have to have joy. To make a joyful noise, you need to be excited about Him. And you need to have some energy behind it. You know that what this joy does? It prepares your heart. Prepares your heart. It's a prepared heart. And you're looking to God and you're seeing how great He is because you realize He is the rock of your salvation. And if you start thinking just a little bit about that, I'm thankful He's a rock, number one. Secondly, I'm thankful for that salvation. Boy, I would say that that's the most important thing we have. And He's the one who gave it to us because He is the rock, right? Rock of our salvation. So pleased and so thankful that we have Jesus as our Savior. Salvation, of course, comes through a Savior, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, when we come to Him, we're to come to Him in joy. To have joy about Him. To let the joy of the Lord be your strength, the Bible says. And joy in our singing and joyful noise. And what are we doing? We're praising Him. I wonder today, I'd have to ask myself, and I want to ask you as well, have you already had a joyful time with Jesus? Have you brought Him some joyful noise? Sing it to Him, whether it be in your car, in the shower, or walk in the hallway at work or wherever it might be. Did you sing about Jesus? You know, oftentimes we'll sing just whatever comes on the radio, but we got to be careful. It needs to be about Jesus. Because we want to make a joyful noise unto who? Well, it says unto the Lord, to the rock. Sing unto the Lord, the rock of our salvation. So let me ask you and let me ask myself, have I come to Jesus today? Will I come to Jesus tomorrow again with joy in my heart? Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that I have Jesus. You know, you have Him. When you get Him, He keeps you. You don't have to worry about keeping Him. Isn't that a good thing? It's a great thing, isn't it? And then we're to come with what? Verse 2, another way for us to come to Him. It sounds like it's a constant invitation. We're to continue to come back and coming back to Jesus and coming back to Jesus and coming to Him again and again and again. Notice another way to do this. Let us come before His presence with what? Thanksgiving. You know, when you come before Jesus, it ought to be automatic. When you come to Him, thanksgiving comes with you, with your mouth and with your praise and with your singing and with your joy. And it ought to be a matter that before you know it, as soon as you're almost talking to Jesus, you're saying thank you. And it's just like it just comes naturally because there's so much to thank Him for. Bible says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Are you and I living the will of God in our lives? Well, one of the ways to do that is to give Him thanks in everything, right? Give Him thanks. And so this is not just singing, but now this is entering into His presence. When you enter into His presence, you cannot but thank Him. And it's an intentional gratitude. You know, it's the thought and the thank yous to God and often. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I would say maybe it's not a bad idea. Have you ever written a thank you to God? I know I grew up in a home where my mom greatly encouraged us about as soon as we got a gift, that make sure you write a thank you. Make sure you write a thank you. She wanted to make sure that we were expressing our gratitude to the one who gave us something. You know who's given us the most? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us so much more than we have deserved. Yes, He's the rock of our salvation. But we have so much to be thankful for. You say, Brother Tyler, you're not even around Thanksgiving. I know. Don't wait till then. And today, tonight, before you lay your head on a pillow tonight, would you give God thanks? And thanksgiving. You know what that does? Not only the joy prepares our heart, but the thanksgiving helps your heart. And I got a bad heart. Well, a way to get a good heart is to start thanking Jesus. And you can actually help your heart. And then this is going a little further. This gets a little bit deeper. I think it's probably the deepest of them all in verse number 6. It says, "Oh, come." There again, it's coming again. So this is a constant invitation. We're to continue to come to Jesus over and over and over. Keep on coming to Him. Not for our salvation. Once that's done, that's settled once and for all. But we're to make access to God every day, throughout the day, all kinds of times. And not just with prayer, but with joy, with thanksgiving, and also with humility and surrender. Look, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and," what? "Bow down." When's the last time you and I bowed down? And I'm not talking about an altar, although that's not a bad thing. It said, if you don't come to an altar and pray before God for something that God's in your heart, then you need to come to the altar and pray that God would put something on your heart. But we're to bow down. You know, you can bow down before the Lord at home in a private place and kneel before the Lord, your Maker. Kneel before Him. You know, that kneeling, it does require us getting on our knees. The bowing could be a prostrate bow. When's the last time you saw that happen, right? And you're not doing it for anyone else to see. This is in your private place. This is in that prayer closet, right? But I would ask myself, and I would ask us, when's the last time we bowed down? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, it changes your whole body posture, doesn't it, when you bow down? It's an act of showing humility and surrender to who? The Lord Almighty. And we need to be bowing down more before Him. What does it do? Well, I would say this, it positions your heart. So the joy prepares your heart. And then the thanksgiving helps your heart. And now, if you bow down and you're humble and surrender to God, coming before Him and worshiping Him and bowing down before Him, and He's our Maker. I mean, He's the one who created us. He's the one, we're in His image, created, and He made us the way He did, and He's glad about it. Matter of fact, it says, look at Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us." Not we ourselves. He's our Maker. Right? And so because of that, I'm going to not only sing and thank, but I'm going to bow. This picture of surrender, it takes the most effort. Because you know what has to happen when you do that? You got to get back up. But the longer you can stay down, the better off your devotional life will be with God and time with Him. And the deepest, most depth comes to going to God when we bow down before Him. I would say, not because of personal experience, I need to do better at this, but I would think that this is the best way to come to God. The truly best way. In Isaiah 66, it says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look." You hear that? It says, "But to this man will I look." What kind of man? "Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." James 4:6 says, "God resists the proud, but" what? "Gives grace unto the humble." Prostrate position of the heart. Position of our body. And so coming and entering. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it even tells us again, it says this, and I know I'm in Psalm 95, but I just want to show you this in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter into His gates with" what? "Thanksgiving." There it is again. It's a coming, entering. "And into His" what? "Courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth through all generations." Praise God. Thank the Lord for that. And notice, please, because these things express and show our feeling about our God, because He is, in verse 3, do you notice in Psalm 95, the Lord is a great God. Great God. and a great king above all gods. How great is he? He's the greatest. None compare to him. It's not as if he just tops the list. No, he is the top of the list. Matter of fact, he's the pinnacle. He's past the list. He's over surpasses it. His power, his majesty, the Lord is a great God. He's great. His value, his unmatched greatness has no limit. Nothing, absolutely, I mean absolutely nothing, nothing compares to our God. Supreme, everything great in him. By the way, it's more than you can imagine than just who your God is, what your God is. He's greater than anything you and I could even think. He's above what we can even ask or think. He's greater than that. He's a great God, but he's a great king. Same God. Can be a great God and a great king. You know, there's times in my day that I'm not the greatest husband. And I'm trying to be maybe, you know, a great dad. And sometimes I'll be doing well on one and then doing horrible on the other. You know, and very rarely can I get both going on great at the same time. But God says, and this chapter shows us, he's a great God, he's a great king. And a great king means he has all authority. He's in control. He's in charge. He rules and reigns for all eternity. He's over all and for all time. He is at the top, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's better than any idol. There's no comparison. There's no competition. He's king over everything. Does that mean your finances? It does. What about your culture? Does God not realize what culture we're living in? Did he not put us in this culture for such a time as this? I believe he did. The world that is therein, king over the government? You mean God is greater than our government? Yes, he is. Thank God that he is. What about over fear? He's a king. What about over your and I's failures? Great king, great God. Past, present, future. For your and I's future. You know why? Because look at verse 4, please. Look at verse 4. In his hand. Here's another repetitive statement on purpose in this chapter. It says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And in his, what? And his hands formed the dry land. Notice verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. This is talking about us and the sheep of his hand. His hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Can we just take for a moment that verse 4, the deep places? The deep places being in his hand. What about that? What would it be like without the deep places being in God's hand? If the deep places were not in God's hand, that'd be a pretty scary situation. We actually had to face all the deep places ourselves. You know, deep places can represent unseen places, unexplored places, dark and gloomy places. When I think of deep places, for some reason my mind goes to the Kentucky caverns. And I'm thinking of a dark, kind of gloomy place. I'm not into spelunking, if you know what that is. Below the surface. But you know, all of us have experienced deep places in our life. I'm reminded of the song that even in the valley, God is good. Without God holding the deep places in his hands, our pain would feel unmanaged. Our suffering would be unbearable. Hidden struggles would seem outside his reach, but they're not. They're in his hand. And God declares and says they are in his hand, and that means the deepest parts that no one else even sees are still in God's hand. Valleys, depression, doubt. What about spiritual dryness? They're in his hands. And we can rest assured the deep places are not outside of God's hand. No wonder he says this, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because they're in his hands. And without the deep places in his hand, there'd be no security in suffering. There'd be no sovereignty in the struggle. There'd be no stability to face extremes. There'd be no substance for our worship. Think about it. I really want you to think about it. If he holds the deepest trenches of the earth in his hands, do you think he holds the deepest trenches of our hearts in his hands? Why would he not? He does. But that's not it. Verse 4, it says, in the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills is his also. Strength of the hills. Has there been any time where you see something that seems, man, this is just too high. There's no way I can really get past this. The height, the summits, the stronghold, what appears immovable or what appears too big. You know, mountains can represent what seems permanent. The strength of the hills. They're his also. Nothing would be secure if it weren't without God ruling the heights, and power would belong to chance. All strong places answered him. The strength of the hills are his also. The strength of the hills were not God's, then there would not be victory that could be certain. Matter of fact, victory would be uncertain. I want you to notice something in Psalm 98. This is all probably on the same page, so I haven't moved very far. Psalm 98, verse 1, it says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand," and there he is about his hand again, "and his holy arm hath gotten him the" what? Victory. That's the kind of God we have. You know, our God is never and has never had a vocabulary or a definition of ever, ever, ever losing. He's a winner. There's a book in my office that says, "A winner never quits and a quitter never wins," by Dr. Lee Robertson. But our God, victory every time. Victory in Jesus, our theme for the year, right? He's gotten the victory. The sea is his, Psalm 95, verse 5. The sea is his, and he made it, right? He made it. He formed the dry land. What if there was only water on this earth? We'd be in trouble. But it says there's dry land, too, that he made. So what if there was only dry land on this earth? We'd be in trouble. It's as if he knew we needed both. As if they work together, it's as if he knows what he's doing. It's all for his purpose and praise. And if you bounce over to Psalm 98, you'd see that happens. And notice verse 4, it says Psalm 98, 4. You thought I was in Psalm 95, but I've been bumping over to Psalm 98 too, haven't I? Psalm 98, look, make a joyful noise, verse 4, unto the Lord, all what? The earth. Notice in verse 7 about the sea. The sea roars and the fullness thereof in the world, and they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. It's as if the Lord knows what he's doing because it's before the Lord and it's to bring praise to the Lord. By the way, they're going to bring praise to the Lord whether you and I don't bring praise or not, but we are to be a part of that praise. God forbid if the hills and the sea and all that makes more noise than you and I can with their praise for the Lord than we have mouths to praise the Lord. God help us. It's all for his purpose and praise. This same God is our maker, the Lord our maker. And because I want to tell you this, secondly, there's caring ownership that this great God offers. So not only do we have something that God has done here with this, first of all, the constant invitation, come, 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 keep on coming, come, come before me in my presence and sing and joy and thanksgiving and kneel down before me. And the constant invitation to that, we also have a caring owner. And he's the owner, he's the maker, he's the one who created all this. And we see that he's our God. And verse 7, we are the people. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. It's all his and so are we. Psalm 100 verse 3 says that it is he that hath made us, not ourselves. So I had a question for you. If the sea is his, which it is, the hills are his, don't you think it says that we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand, that the sheep should act like they're his? The one who owns us, and a caring owner at that, we're owned by him. Shouldn't it be noticeable who we are really following? Our shepherd. Shouldn't we follow who owns us? He it is who has right and control, and we are to listen to his voice. remember John 10. I would ask maybe just take a moment to turn over there with me. John 10. John chapter 10. Remember, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. That's what John 10 talks about. John 10 verse 24. I say one of the best noises you could ever hear is the pages turning of the Bible, and I would have to agree. That's a wonderful sound. This is Bible study, right? So John 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? John 10, 24. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my... What? There it is, a hand again. It's as if his hands matter. They do matter. But also what matters is that the sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. So when we look at Psalm 95 and we see that we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, then it's very critical that we are following after the shepherd. Think about this with me. You can have lots of sheep out in a pasture, and as soon as that shepherd goes out to that pasture and just speaks his voice, the sheep that care about what the shepherd says and recognize his voice come running. I mean, only one man steps out, and because his voice lifts it, maybe he lifts it up, and suddenly all these sheep, because they're his sheep. That's why. They recognize that shepherd, because that's their shepherd. You know, one of the marks that we're his sheep is we should know his voice. You know, we shouldn't name the name of Christ if we have no interest in hearing his voice. The sheep of his pasture are the ones who love to hear the voice of the shepherd. And don't you want to hear that voice? You remember that little guy by the name of Samuel? In 1 Samuel, he kept hearing a voice as he was sleeping, and he thought it was Eli. He's sleeping in the tabernacle, and literally, he goes running to Eli and asks, did you call me? And I'm paraphrasing, but and Eli tells him, hey, when you hear that voice again, this is after the third time, right? Then just say, thy servant heareth, and here am I, in essence. Send me, use me, here am I. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's more than just listening for God's voice. We've got to live like we're his. Even Samuel, more than just saying that, was then going to then need to do something with it. But he wanted to hear that voice. 2 Timothy 2:19. Let me just read this verse to you for sake of time. But listen to this verse, 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. That doesn't mean you and I are sinless, but we are to be sinning less in our life. Departing from iniquity. Departing from it. You and I both know we're kind of in a culture right now. I feel like there's a lot of, if I may, pop Christianity. And people say they're Christians just because they think they're a Christian. And they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian, or yeah, you know, I go to church, or I know about God, or all that happens. And it's almost like it's a pop culture, and it's a trendy thing to say, I'm a Christian. And sometimes it disgusts me, sometimes, what it gets tagged with Christianity, because it has nothing to do with Christ. And then think about this. You go to the other side of the globe right now. I mean, right now, if we were to just take a flight and go to the other side of the globe right now, there would be people, literally, that are meeting tonight in an underground church where they're fearful of being found out because they're not doing wrong, they're doing right. And they love the Lord so much that they're willing to do that. It's not popular to be a Christian, and it could cost them something. But pop Christianity is never what God had in mind. Because just like pop culture changes, the ebb and flow, that's not what God wants of a Christian. You know what? True Christianity is not just meant for Sunday. True Christianity is not just when it's convenient. It should be all the time. That's why he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. All things are become new. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why? Why should we? Because we have a caring owner. He's our shepherd, and we are his sheep, and the sheep of his pasture, you know, they're going to respond to that shepherd's voice. And it could be a loud voice, it could be a quiet voice, but you need to know what the voice is. And it's not just any voice. It's not the voices that are just in your head that pop up tonight as a nightmare or a dream. You need to know what God's voice is. And he's a good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Psalm 23. The shepherd loves his sheep better than anyone else can. And the shepherd is not doing it for a business, caring for the sheep. He absolutely loves the sheep. Matter of fact, you think about our shepherd. You look at his hands. What are you going to find different about his hands? Nail-pierced hands. Those same hands that the shepherd uses out in the field, in the pasture, to tend to the sheep, are going to tend to a sheep. They're going to protect the sheep. They're going to fend off the bears and be a protector of them. And those are the hands of the shepherd. Your shepherd, God, loves you in everlasting love. You know this, I tell you, this encourages me greatly. He can never love you more than he loves you right now. No more, no less. Maxed. Everlasting. How do you get any better than that? And the Bible says that we are the sheep of what? His hand. And so when you see those hands that have holes in them, there's no greater love than that. Just none. The shepherd's hands are known to clean wounds, provide healing. They're known to fend off the predators, as I mentioned. And sometimes even the sheep that would get a little plump and roll over and all fours up in the air, you know whose help they needed? Because I know we like to say that sheep are dumb, but you know what? Sheep are really more stubborn than dumb. No wonder God says, you're my sheep. Because we are pretty stubborn. And I'd rather hear stubborn than dumb. Because I'm stubborn about that, not wanting to be dumb. But those same hands are going to help roll that sheep over. And you know what's going to help them? That rod and that staff that comfort them, right? But sometimes that rod and staff have to be taken and hit on the head to the sheep. Say, wake up. I'm trying to get your attention. And pay attention to what I'm trying to do in your life. And sometimes the shepherd has to do that to us. But those hands are going to lead to the green pastures. And the key part I want you to notice, please, tonight, and I hope you'll get this evening as we close out, the key part is a difference of places. Notice, please, with me in verse 7. He is our God. We are the people of what? His pasture. The sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 8, it says, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the what? Wilderness. There's the difference right there. The difference of whether you and I are going to live in the pasture, verse 7, or the wilderness. What does a pasture look like? If you could flip that slide back to verse 7, the pasture looks really good. Green, luscious, beside still waters. Sheep just hanging out. You see the sheep underneath the tree. And it's as if he's just comfortable. Because this is where, and he's resting. This is where God wants us to be, in the pasture. And the next slide, verse 8, this is the difference of places. We're in the wilderness, and the sheep can hang out there too. But it looks like it's pretty hard to find food. It looks like it's pretty dry when it comes to water. Looks like it's not that much grazing to take place. And some of the Lord's sheep hang out in the wilderness where they're not supposed to be. And even tonight, you and I, though we sit in the church and we sit at open Bible here tonight, we could be in the wilderness if we choose not to hear His voice. And so, if we want to hang out in the pastures, in the green pastures, we're going to have to really listen to that voice. Because we want to graze in the pasture of the Word of God, in a place of prayer, drawing from the fullness of Christ. And there's sheep sometimes that wander away, and maybe they might find themselves in the wilderness, and thank God that He pulls us out of the thorns and the briars, and He'll use that rod and staff, and He'll throw us up on the shoulders, and as a shepherd walk with us, and you know, see the only set of His footprints, if I may, these kind of things. And the good shepherd still gets to us, and He knows where, with that one sheep, right, out of the 99 and out of 100, right, He goes after that one. Here's the thing. You and I are going to pick the place, the pasture or the wilderness, based upon our grazing in the world or in the Word, the Lord, or not listening to that voice and saying, no, it's not for me. I'm not changing. I know better. I'm a stubborn sheep. We don't say we're stubborn, but we speak stubbornness with our life if we're not careful, because verse 7 is so critical. Look, it says, today. What does that mean? It does mean what it says. It means today. It means today. And then tomorrow it's going to mean tomorrow, but today it means today. If ye will. And I almost titled this message, If You Will, but I titled this message, Same God, and the difference of the pastures. Verse 7, verse 8, and the coming or hardening your heart. It says, harden not. That's a caution. Don't do it. This is the same God speaking. He says, come. I just want you to come. I just want you to listen to my voice. I just want you to hear me. And we're the people of His pasture. So I almost titled this message, If Ye Will, just like it says in that verse. Today, if ye will hear His voice. Because it really is up to you and I whether we will or not. If ye will hear His voice, pasture. If you will not, and you harden your heart, then you can expect the wilderness. See, it's a difference of verse 7, we are the people of His pasture. Do you notice in verse 10 it says, it is a people. I don't even like the language of that. It doesn't even sound right. It is a people that do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. If you and I want rest, the pasture, we got to come to Jesus. Again, the same God that says, harden not your heart, says, come. Rest only comes through Jesus. In Matthew 11, 28, here's that word again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, in other words, submit to Christ. Upon you and learn, in other words, how to live like Jesus and live as He lives. For I am meek, gentle, strength, under control. I am lowly. He's humble, not harsh, in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, the same God that takes care of you in the pasture is willing to take you out of the wilderness. And He'll rescue you. But you've had some wilderness time. You might have some thorns. You might have some dry mouth because you've been without water. You might have looked for something like the prodigal did and came up empty. The way better way to go is today, if you will hear His voice. Graze in the pasture of God's goodness or wander on your own in the wilderness. And I want to gain rest. And it's as if the rest, to gain rest, can be the excitement of that toy in the McDonald's package. I'd like to get some rest. And to gain rest, we got to listen to His voice. It's the only way to get it. Today, come, and if you will hear His voice, today, will you do that? Come to Him. with worship. Bow down before Him. Praise Him and thank Him. And continue to come to Him again tomorrow morning, throughout the day tomorrow, tonight before you go to bed. Keep on coming to God. And that'll be a great help for all of us. Dear Jesus, thank You for this psalm. We looked at just about every verse, but I'm sure there's way more to glean from it than even what we looked at tonight. But Lord, I pray that in some way You've given us something we can go with the rest of our week and to meditate on, to ponder, most importantly, to live. Help our hearts not to get hardened. May they get softened and prepared and helped. And Lord, by thanksgiving and by bowing before You and with joy, singing, and Lord, just work on our hearts even tonight, I pray, that we will listen to that voice and understand it, what You're saying and what You're trying to do in our life. Help us not to go up against it. Help us to be willing to say, "Here am I, Lord," just like Samuel did. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.